Well, hello there, you precious baby angels. How goes it? I hope it goes well. We are almost at the end of 2023, which is absolutely bonkers. It feels like this year was half of what it was supposed to be. And I know a lot of people say, like, oh my God, the year flew by. And I have never meant that up until this year. Like, anytime I'm talking to someone and we're having water cooler conversation, and they're like, oh my God, the year is flying. This is the one time that I actually have said it in a calendar year, and I actually meant that ish. Like, oh my God, I blinked my eyes, and we are literally in the last days of the year. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if ever since Koviana, like, my concept of time is just completely warped, but this year literally flew by in the blink of an eye. So I hope that you guys got to accomplish most of, if not all of, the things that you wanted to achieve this year, and if this year was just meant to be you on some chill-ish, because I totally understand that too, then I hope that you actually chilled. And what better way for us to wrap up this year than to do a look back at 2023's greatest hits and possibly some of its greatest misses, and dissect the trends, what we might think are the trends going into the new year. And then also, if we have enough time for it, I think I would like to talk about some of my personal style mantras that I'm going to take into the new year. Because I have a vision for myself for 2024, and I'm taking that vision very seriously. I'm really trying to execute on my plan. I'm really trying to convey who I am on the inside, on the outside, which I think I have not been able to do for a lot of years for various reasons. So I'm ready. I'm ready to reclaim my style. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's get into the trends of 2023 year in review. So I took the liberty of not just consulting my own brain, but also consulting other entities in the fashion space that I think are highly regarded. So I looked on Elle, I looked at Vogue, I looked at Glamour, Refinery29, and I plucked out all of the trends that I saw repeated. So clearly everybody is in agreement that these are the trends. So I plucked out the ones that I saw repeated, and then the ones that I like really wanted to specifically focus on, because there's a lot of people who think certain things are trending, but I don't think all of them are worth noting. I don't think all of them had like mass appeal. So let's talk about the ones that did. Number one I have here, I wrote in my notes just like red, but I think red was the color of the season this year. I saw red everywhere. I saw the girls wearing red tights. I saw, of course, red nails, red apparel. I didn't see any full-blown, like, all red head-to-toe looks, which I'm kind of glad. I think that red was the trend where it was a focal point of the outfit, but it wasn't the whole entire outfit, unless it was like, a full, like, one-piece dress kind of thing, or like a really statement coat. Other than that, it was just little glimpses of red in people's outfits. And I mean, my mom would kill me for this, but like, I'm not the biggest fan of red. I'm more of a navy blue kind of babe, like cobalt blue, which was also kind of trendy this year. And I loved it, but I would say red definitely had her day in the sun in 2023. And I'm not the biggest fan of the color red, especially those kind of like bright blood reds that I saw a lot of people wearing. Like, something about a bright, bright red pair of tights with an all black fit, just, I mean, I appreciate self-expression, that goes without saying. Whether I'm personally into it or not, I appreciate people just doing them. But I'm not a fan of red as a statement color when it's super bright like that. I saw also some folks who were doing the red trend, but they were doing a really, I guess not warm, maybe it's not a warm tone red, but like an oxblood, burgundy, maroon, that kind of thing. I think that is very sexy. Like, I love that particular shade of red. Bright red, I think, is it's just too bright for my eyes. It's a very jarring, off-putting color for me. And I I'm just not here for it. I'm gonna be honest. Like, that might be an unpopular opinion. We're already coming in strong. We're coming in hot with the unpopular opinions, but bright red as the color of the season, for me, it's a no. Now, if it was the burgundy maroon ox blood, I like that. I like that a lot, actually. That's very subtle, chic, kind of like a Merlot, like the color of red wine. That kind of red, I think, is so chic and sophisticated. I loved seeing people paint their nails that color as we changed seasons and came into fall, winter. I love that color on nails. I think it's such a nice pop of something a little bit unexpected on the hands. It's, I think, a little bit more edgy than just your typical kind of French manicure, typical just kind of gel polish, very bland, neutral pink colors. I think that ox bloody red is so chic and sophisticated. So, I mean, I guess it's not a total miss for me. It depends on the shade of red. How about that? It depends on what shade of red you went for. Depending on the shade, either I lived for it or I absolutely had to avert my eyes. So, there we go. That's red in a nutshell. Number two on my list is metallics. This was a big, big year for the metallics. I think we have Beyoncé to thank for that with her Renaissance tour, where she had all the girls come in their finest silver reflective garb, and I lived for it. I thought everybody looked amazing. And I would say she's single-handedly the reason for the trend. Like, I really can't think of any other catalyst this year that would have made metallics such a big trend story. So I'm gonna give it to the House of Knowles. I'm gonna give it to Beyoncé for this one. I think that she's the reason why metallics were what they were this year. And I love it. I loved it in the way that people wore it at the concert, where it was very kind of costumey and super over-embellished. I loved the looks that came out of the Renaissance tour. Not only from the people who were on the stage, but also the people who were in the stands and in the crowd. I thought people had like some of the most creative outfits that I've seen in a long, long time. And I loved that there were so many different ways that people went about staying on theme. Like, some people just did a pop of an accessory. They would have like a metallic silver reflective pair of sunglasses on. Or they would do nail polish or tinsel in their hair, or just have some really splashy jewelry. Some people had on, their silver shoes. So I love that you could make it as minimal or as maximal as you wanted. I think in the future, that's how trends should be. It should be on a spectrum, and you should be able to dip a toe in as little or as much as you want. I think that is how trends are going to have to be in the future if we want them to take off and have a groundswell effect. I don't think it should be like this particular bag is the trend. It's rather kind of an overall motif, metallic. So you can have a metallic Jacquemus clutch bag that I saw going viral earlier this year. Or you could just have a pair of sunglasses and call it a day. Or you could put tinsel in your hair and call it a day. But as long as you have some type of silver element, metallic element, you're on trend. So I loved that about the metallics. And I loved seeing people make it their own. And something about silver, to me, this might be a contested opinion depending on who you are, but I have always been of the impression that silver is a neutral. Like, I remember when I was way younger in my teenage years, I had a pair of silver flats that I got from Theory. And when I tell you, I wore those silver Theory flats into the concrete, into the ground. I wore those shoes until they were absolutely on their last legs. Like, no one could save them. And I didn't know until I bought that pair of shoes, and I bought them on a whim. I was at an outlet and they had them for a really good price. And Theory, at least back then, I haven't bought an item from Theory in quite a while, but Theory back then, the quality was so good. Like, if I knew then what I knew now about how to take care of shoes, I would still have those shoes right now. And I'm saying all of this because I want to illustrate that I wore them so much because they went with everything I had. And I did not realize that a metallic could be a neutral until I actually owned one in my wardrobe. And realized that it was the perfect Not even pop of color, but just like the perfect unexpected element to jazz up your outfit. Like I would wear the most basic of items, and then I'd pop on that silver metallic flat, and boom, I looked instantly cool, instantly elevated. So I will always love metallics for that reason. I will always love silver in particular for that reason. I will say that I do think that silver reads a little bit more chic than gold when it comes to accessories. I love gold, yellow gold jewelry as opposed to sterling silver jewelry, but then we have white gold, which I love and don't own any of right now. But when it comes to wearable items, not fine jewelry, not precious metals, gold tends to look a little chintzy. So I know even though the list says metallics, let's be honest, the girls were all here for silver this year. Beyonce said, "We're silver." Everybody wore silver. We weren't really checking for gold as a pop of, a little dash of something this year with our clothes. It was all about the silver, honey. And I love it. I love it. If you feel intimidated by silver, I'm telling you, do not. I would say, don't go all in. Get an item that is very easy to carry. Like, I would say just get a little clutch bag or get maybe a pair of ballet flats like I had back in the day or get a pair of sunglasses, like some really funky silver reflective sunglasses. Like, Prada makes them. If you go back in the archives, Dior has a pair of reflective lens sunglasses from back in like 2017, 2018. And I cannot remember the name of them now, but we sold a crap ton of them when Dior was one of my accounts back in the day. And I'm sure somebody's selling it on Poshmark for a low, low price because they haven't come back into the fold yet as like a cool semi-vintage item. So you could probably get your hands on them for a really good price if you just want to dip a toe into the trend. But I love metallics. I think I've said enough about it. Yay for metallics. Number three. The vest. 2023 was the year of wearing a vest with nothing underneath it. And I did not like it. I did not live for it. I'm not gonna lie to you. There was nothing wrong with it per se. Like, every girl who I saw wearing it was a very pretty girl, and I didn't think she looked bad. I just cannot get jiggy with the idea of putting on a suit vest with nothing under it, like just my bare skin. I can't get with that. Like back in the mid 2000s, vests were a thing for some people, myself included. And I have pictures of me floating around on Facebook somewhere where I have on a vest, but I have on something underneath it. I have on like a nice little fitted t-shirt underneath it. And I'm not mad at that, but what I saw this year was people wearing vests that had nothing underneath them. Like it was straight up vest on top of skin, like wearing it like it was a tank top. And to me, I just cannot get jiggy with it. It looks incomplete. It looks like you stepped outside of the house and forgot to put a shirt on. Like it doesn't look intentional in my mind, even though I know it is. I know that women are intentionally walking outside, and some men intentionally walking outside with a vest with nothing underneath. And you guys are beautiful, nice to look at, but I can't shake the feeling when I see it like you forgot to put a shirt on before you left the house. Like that's just what I feel when I look at that. So vests were a big thing, and I did not live for them. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't. I'm so sorry. Number four is maxi skirts. This was the year of long ankle length, ankle skimming denim skirts in particular. And I'm on the fence about if I lived for this trend or if I didn't, because the thing is, it greatly depended on who I saw it on and like what the whole fit looked like. Because I saw some people that absolutely nailed it and they looked really chic. And then I saw some people who, the running joke on TikTok that I see is that they look like they could be Mormons. So I think it really depends on who I saw doing it. And I will say the elements that I saw where the denim maxi skirt looked good, what I noticed is the outfits that I liked it in, they all had a slit up the front. I think that was really the determining factor of what made it look Mormon chic and what made it look actually contemporary and hip. Because something about not having the slit in the front of a denim maxi skirt, it just looks like you are on your way to church in the middle of a cornfield, I think. I think. So having that slit in the front is key. And then what I also saw is when women were wearing that maxi skirt with the slit in the front, they had on a really tall boot that had some type of playful element to it. So I saw a lot of people wearing them with snake print boots, or again with the metallic boot, or in a just an unexpected color for the boot, like it would be like a purple boot or a green boot or something. And it would be a very, very long boot, like very long leg shaft going up the thigh, like not an ankle boot, like a true boot that you pull over the knee. So that's what I saw that made it look not Mormony, not granny, was having that slit down the front. So when I saw it like that, it ate. It was tens, tens, tens across the board. It was so good. The other times when I saw it without that front slit, it was giving Church of Latter-day Saints, okay? It was giving Sister Wives. I wasn't here for it. So maxi denim skirt as a trend this year, I'm gonna ultimately say I lived for it, but I lived for it under some very specific circumstances. Whew, okay, we're at number five, and I have to catch my breath because I'm already exhausted just thinking about this trend, child. Oh, I'm already exhausted. Okay, number five is quiet luxury, and that in with some of the other names I saw too when I was looking at all of the trends, because some people were saying stuff like normcore and corpcore, which corp is short for corporate. I'm gonna lump that all in with the quiet luxury because I think it's all drinking from the same well of thought, which is look incredibly nondescript, don't have anything special about you that makes you stand out too much, that's too far removed from the status quo. That's too far removed from proximity to whiteness, basically. And so I'm gonna lump all that stuff in under the umbrella of quiet luxury. I'm so sick of hearing about quiet luxury and stealth wealth and whatever else they're calling it. I am so sick of it. It is so boring, full stop. I don't like it because it's boring. There. I mean, there's really no long, drawn out answer for it. It is just really, really boring. And some of us dress boring because that's just the time that we're on and because we want to. Like I have openly said on my platform on TikTok and elsewhere, I am in my boring era. Like I don't want to spend a lot of time fussing over what I'm going to put on and fussing over color coordination and lots of buttons and lots of zippers and things that require a lot of zhuzh and a lot of extra hands to get ready. Like I'm at the stage of my life where I'm not interested in that. I'm not really interested in calling unnecessary attention to myself. But that's because I spent years and years being a sideshow freak, basically. Like I spent years and years walking around New York City with a shaved head, with piercings all over my face, with, platform boots that had zippers all up and down the shaft and leather pants, and I did everything aesthetically that I wanted to do. So I'm in my boring era now just because that is the only thing I've never done. The only thing I've never done is just be simple and plain and boring. And I'm at the point in my life, in my development, where that's just what I want. I just crave simplicity. I don't want to spend a lot of time fussing over getting my clothes on. I want to just leave the house. So I'm not knocking that if that's you, and not even saying you have to have the exact same reasoning that I do, but I'm not knocking it if you dress boring, you dress quiet, luxury, stealthy, blah, 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 because it's just from the soul and that's just how you feel. I'm not knocking you for that. But there's no way that everyone who's participating in this style trend is going to be doing this in another 5 years or 2 years even. There's no way that you are all going to be participating and dressing stealthy in another 2 years. Because as soon as this trend falls out of favor, and as soon as you guys think that rich people are on some other ish, you're gonna go and do it because all you care about is the proximity to wealth slash proximity to whiteness. And that's all that this trend is. You're not doing it because you have any other deep intrinsic reason why you just want to put on a nondescript navy blue turtleneck sweater and some khaki pants and walk outside the house. If you were doing it for you, I wouldn't knock it. Is it boring still? Yes. I openly say that I dress boring now, but I know why I'm dressing boring, and I'm doing it because I want to do it, not because I think it gives me proximity to a group of people who are exclusionary as fuck. Like, that's not my end goal, and it never has been. And honestly, I just feel like the more people talk about things being luxury, luxury, quiet luxury, it dilutes the word and the meaning. And I just feel like everything that people are saying is luxurious now is not. Like, that Shein tweed blazer is not quiet luxury. I'm sorry. It's not a luxury. It's not a luxury to have clothes that are covered in petroleum and coated in all types of plastic and have a weird smell when you rip them out of the plastic bag. Like, there's nothing luxurious about that just because it's a tweed blazer with gold buttons on it and it looks like something that someone's grandma bought from Chanel in 1991. There's nothing luxurious about that whole experience that I just mentioned. You are just going after an aesthetic because you want proximity to a group, not because it means something to you. Because if the new thing with rich people was dressing like a hippie from the 70s, you guys would throw all of those cheap blazers out right now, and you would go find yourself some bell bottoms and a peace sign medallion, and you would all walk around like that. And that would be ridiculous, but you're doing it because you think that that's going to give you acceptance into this group of people that are, notoriously self-isolating. And that's why I don't respect it, to make a long story short. Number six is bows. We saw a ton of bows this year from folks like Sandy Liang and her collaborations with Bagu, as well as her own eponymous brand. We've seen Simone Rocha, who has done, some very romantic things through the years. Rodarte, lots of brands that have done bows, but I feel like bows this year in particular have really, really exploded. And I like the bows for the same reason that I like the whole metallic trend, because you can participate in it as much or as little as you want to, which I love that because it's such a sustainable way of enacting a trend. Like, some people are going all out and they're buying full-on apparel that is made with bows on it to be on trend. Some people are buying, the Bagu Sandy Liang collaboration where it's the little shoulder bag that has ribbons on it that can be tied up like a bow on either side of the shoulder bag. That's been making a lot of moves on the internet, and I'm sure it has sold a stupid amount of units. And you can do that, or you can straight up buy some ribbon from Michaels or Joann's and sew something on something you already own, or just tie ribbon onto a bag that you already own, and boom, you've participated in the trend. It really doesn't take much more than that. And so I love it for the fact that it's super accessible. There's no right or wrong way to approach the bow trend. And then I also just like kind of the nod to femininity and embracing the feminine and women signaling to each other via their style, like, hey, I love being a woman, being a girl, like being a girl rocks. I see a lot of kind of pro woman rhetoric surrounding the bow trend, which I'm always here for. So I like the bows. That's that. Number seven on the list, which I'm gonna say already right now, like, I'm in love with it. This is me all day, every day. Number seven is gothic romance, or some form of kind of gothic look. That's been really big this year, and I love it. I have always fancied myself as like my interpretation of a goth. I'm not gonna straight up put that label on myself, because you put a label on and all of a sudden a bunch of angry people come out of the woodworks and be like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." So you know what? I'm not even gonna say that I consider myself goth. I'm gonna say that I feel like I'm some variant of that, and I interpret it in my own way. And that has resulted in me wearing dark clothes for the vast majority of my life, minus a couple of years, months even during COVID, where I like leaned into super bright Danish pastels because I was trying to counteract all the sadness that I was feeling from everything going on around me that I had no control over. But once life kind of got back into equilibrium and I kind of felt like myself again, I sold all that stuff on Depop and Poshmark and I went right back to what I know, which is navy blues and black, inky blacks, and maybe a little dash of some type of pop here and there. But it's giving dark, it's giving, goth in my own way. That has been my jam for many, many years. If I had the ability to show you right now, I would show you my senior page in my high school yearbook where I had black nail polish on, black jeans, a black blazer with some type of like, I think I had on like a white tee or something underneath it, and my hair was dyed jet black. Like, black is the color of my soul. Like, I love me some black. So you better believe I am all over the gothic romance. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. And I like also that it feels more akin to what I've done for many years, which is a variant, a subset of being gothic. Like, I'm not a Hot Topic goth. I never have been and I never will be, but I am my own flavor of goth, and I like that this trend is allowing people to be their own flavor of goth in particular. So I absolutely love it, but that is fully because that is how I've already dressed for years and years. So it's just reflecting back to me something that I already enjoy. Full transparency. And number eight, my last trend on here for 2023 is the capsule wardrobe. I saw a ton of capsule content this year, and I'm not saying capsule content didn't exist before because it did, but I don't feel like it was for the average person before. Like, it felt like it was for someone who's a more extreme kind of minimalist person. And they've always had their content in their corner of the internet, and I feel like they were the ones talking about having a capsule wardrobe for the longest. But I have seen content this year about the capsule wardrobe from all different kinds of people, not just people that I would consider to be, your textbook minimalist, people that are more geared towards kind of Danish, Scandi aesthetics, who I have always known and seen on the internet talking about being minimal and living with less. I started seeing all types of people talk about having a capsule wardrobe, people who had very colorful style, very eclectic, making their own interpretation of dressing in a capsule wardrobe. And I think that the capsule wardrobe is a great trend. I think it's a great trend in 2023, and I hope that it continues to be one for other folks long after that, because I think that it's a good test for thinking about your clothing just beyond the consumption. I think a lot of content that exists online is just about the immediate satisfaction that you get from the consumption of clothing. And then there's very little content around how to make those clothes work for you in the long run and how to use them to their maximum advantage and how to get the most cost per wear and et cetera, et cetera. And I think that those types of conversations, especially when we want to think about being sustainable, they have to be conversations that we are starting to have and have way more frequently. And I think that the capsule wardrobe is a great way to segue into that kind of conversation without feeling, intimidating or feeling like it's a sacrifice or a ritual. Like, it just feels fun. Like, creating a capsule wardrobe feels fun. And it's a way to make light out of living with less. Not saying because you can't afford more, but because you genuinely don't need it. Like, sometimes the essentials are really all you need. So I love that that message is getting out there, and I have no complaints about capsule wardrobes being a trend. I love it. Hope to see it more in the new year. And that is 2023 in a nutshell. Those were all the trends that were worth mentioning over in my neck of the woods. So I'm glad we got to cover that amongst ourselves because that was really fun. I enjoyed it. And now let's talk about 2024 and let's talk about how I plan to embrace my personal style in the new year. I really don't have much to be honest. Like, again, I feel like I've pretty much done everything style-wise that I wanted to do. So, really, this phase of my life is just about refining the things that I've already cultivated within myself and within my personal style. So, I'm gonna make a focus on buying pieces that are more tailored. I just feel that whenever I wear something that kind of has a more loose, casual fit, I find that it throws me off my game throughout the day. I don't feel as confident. I don't feel as capable. I don't feel as strong. And for whatever reason, whenever I wear something that is more tailored, more structured, I feel like I can take on anything. I feel like I stand taller. My shoulders are, more at ease. I speak with more conviction. Like when I look a certain way, it reflects in how I interact with people. And I want to make all of my interactions as impactful as I can in the new year. So, stuff like the like comfy pants that kind of have almost a sweatpant kind of feel to them, where they have an elastic waist and things like that. I'm not saying that I don't want to own those things because comfort is king for me, but I'm going to make a conscious effort to make sure that anything I own and accumulate next year, even if it feels comfortable, I want it to look structured. Like, I don't want a sweater that's gonna look super lumpy. I want a sweater that has, a beautiful neckline and has great stitching and just looks very high quality and conveys that I am not necessarily just expensive, because that's not my sole purpose for how I want to look, but something that just conveys that I'm not a small fish that you're dealing with. Like, I'm a pretty big deal. So I want all of my clothing to reflect that. And it varies in terms of what that looks like. Like, for example, I wear a lot of just oversized dress shirts over the top of my t-shirts, and that's kind of like my uniform. I'll wear denim with a white t-shirt tucked in, and I'll put on a button-up shirt over the top of it, like a jacket, and I won't button it. I'll just wear it like that. That's been my uniform for all of this year. But I have noticed that the types of shirts that I've been wearing, they make me feel sloppy. They are really, really oversized for my frame, and they're men's shirts, so they're cut a little differently because they're made for a man. And over time, I just found that I didn't like how they looked on me. So I did an experiment and I bought a woman's shirt. So instead of wearing men's larges, I bought a woman's large shirt. And I decided to just wear that and see how I felt about the exact same fit, but just with a women's shirt instead of a man's shirt. And I look so much better. I look leaner. I look just more elegant. I look so much better wearing a woman's large button up versus a men's. The men's large was sloppy looking when I compare it to how I look in the women's large. Also, the women's large is from a brand that I think just does proportions and cuts and tailoring really well. It's a Ralph Lauren shirt, the one that I'm thinking about in particular that I bought this year. And it just hugs me in all the right places. And I feel so capable when I wear that shirt at work. And I just feel like I can take on anything and I can sit in a boardroom right now and facilitate this Zoom call. And I could lead this company to victory in this shirt. So I want to make it a focal point to deliberately get items that are tailored so that that's how I feel every day. The second thing I have here is black, black, and more black. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. I kind of explained that a few minutes back with the whole gothic trend, but I love black. Black is my favorite color to wear. I have a little bit of pops of color here and there in my wardrobe, but I feel the most myself when I have on black clothes. Like, I mean, I can't really explain it any better than that. I just feel like me, and 2024 and beyond is just about being the most me that I can be, as cheesy as that probably sounds. Like, I don't want to be anyone else but me. Like, I genuinely mean that. And even if the rest of the world is wearing red and pink and frilly things and, Bottega green and whatever else there is, like, I don't want to do that. I want to wear black. And again, I own pops of color, so I'm not saying you'll never see me in anything that's not black, but I know that my truest self is in a black fit. And so I'm going to embrace that. I'm not going to run away from it. I'm not going to shy away from it. It is what it is. Next thing I have on here for 2024, I have only buy things that alleviate decision fatigue. I make so many decisions throughout my day. I'm a single working woman. Excuse me, I guess I'm not really single. When I say single, I mean I'm not married. So roll with it. I'm a single working woman. I live alone. I have a job where honestly, I feel like I do the work of at least two people, maybe three sometimes, depending on the day. And I have to make a lot of decisions. I have to make a lot of decisions beyond just what I wear. And I actually talk about this more in depth in my podcast episode called The Power of Uniforms. So if you want to hear more about that, like in full depth, that is the episode to listen to. It's really, really good if I do say so myself. And I don't want to spend any of the little finite amount of mental energy that I have trying to put together an outfit. Like, I just don't have the bandwidth for it anymore. It was fun when I was young, when I didn't have as many responsibilities, when I didn't have as many things on my plate. And that was great. That was a great time to spend 2 hours in the morning getting dressed. But me today, at my big age, I don't have that kind of time. If I have 2 extra hours in the morning, it's gonna go to 10, 12 other things before I think about using that additional time to pick out an outfit. Like, I want to get dressed with as little problems as possible. I don't want it to be a whole big thing. I just want to get dressed and walk out the door. So that means that even if I like an item, if it doesn't fit into my day-to-day life, I can't buy it. So, for example, if I see a really pretty dress and it has a zipper that goes from the ruta to the tuta, and that zipper oftentimes gets caught, I'm not gonna buy it because I live alone and I don't have the time or the energy to try and, reach behind my back and pull up a zipper that got stuck halfway. Like, I don't have the energy nor the desire. I'm not doing it. Sorry, sorry, not sorry. So I'm only buying things that alleviate decision fatigue for my life. And then the last one on my list is kind of a wild card, but I love it. It is feed my brain content that is not fashion. And that is very, very important. And that might sound contradictory because of what this platform is, but I really do think that knowing about the world and being a well-rounded person, it absolutely affects your personal style. For example, if you keep up with the news and you look at what's going on with Shein, you might think twice before you buy a blazer from Shein because you know what's going on in their supply chain, and maybe you don't rock with that. That's not part of your code of ethics, and so you don't want to spend your money over there. Or beyond that, like, you would be surprised what things outside of fashion inspire you to get dressed. You'd be really surprised. Like, for me, a big thing that inspires my personal style is architecture. I love architecture and interior design. Like, if I didn't end up in the fashion world as a profession, I would have ended up in interiors because it's such a fascinating medium to study. I love reading about the process of creating a whole new building, or when people do renovation projects and they get interviewed in magazines like Dwell or Architectural Digest, and they talk about the whole process of, breaking down a house down to the studs and building it back up again, and the physical limitations of this design and how they had to work around it so that it was compliant and safe. And it's honestly so technical and fascinating. I can't even begin to describe to you, but I think my brain just absorbs it, and the conversation in interior design and architecture is so smart and juicy that it just spills over into the other arenas of my life. And like, I will see an item that I can look at it and think to myself, oh my God, was that inspired by, making it up, the Chrysler Building? And then sure enough, I might go and research it and look up a designer's collection and see that the designer was inspired by the Chrysler Building. Like, just random things that you would never think you'd derive inspiration from, you actually would. And this is a hot take, but I can tell a lot of times just by looking at a person. Of course, ultimately, you never judge a book by its cover, but we're talking about law of probability and like making predictions about people, okay? I'm not judging, I'm making a prediction. And most of the time, I am able to spot someone who has other interests, and I'm able to spot the person who only cares about fashion and literally nothing else. Like, once you start to open and broaden up those horizons and explore other things, you can tell when you're in the presence of someone who only thinks about clothes. And I'm not saying that they're a bad person. I'm just saying you can tell when you're in the presence of that kind of person. And I just think that your style will be the better for it if you explore other things that are not fashion centric. So yeah, even though it's not directly related to my style, it kind of is feeding my brain content that's not fashion. I 100% think that it's made me a more well-rounded person and has affected my style for the better. So, can't recommend that last one enough. And I mean, that's it. Honestly, my style is pretty fleshed out at this stage of my life, so I don't have anything super crazy or groundbreaking to say on that front. But that pretty much sums up everything about this year and my intentions for next year. So, I just want to say before we close out 2023, I'm so grateful for all of you. Literally, you all like make my life. I couldn't ask for a better platform of people to talk to semi-weekly. And hopefully, in the new year, very soon, I'll be able to talk to you on other platforms like YouTube once I get my ish together. And I just want to say thanks so much for your support. It means the world. As usual, if you enjoyed this, I would not mind at all if you wanted to leave a 5-star rating. Please tell a friend to tell a friend if you want to repost this episode anywhere on your socials, if you want to just talk about it on your socials, I would be, very appreciative of that. And also would love it if you signed up for the newsletter, which you can access over on either my TikTok or Instagram profile when you click on the link in my bio. So love you lots. I am so looking forward to doing amazing new things with our community in the new year, and I can't wait. I will say that I'm going on a digital fast for the month of January. This is my second annual digital fast for January. I did it at the beginning of this year, and it was amazing. I'm still going to post content on here. I'm going to come on here and do some episodes for the month of January, but you guys won't be seeing me posting daily or near daily like I do on TikTok. And that is the reason why. But I promise I will be back with a whole new batch of content and hopefully new methods of getting to know all of you a lot better. So thank you once again and have a safe and happy new year. Bye guys.